Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into His image.
Amen.
I'm telling you, today, there's so much going on. And 2 weeks ago, I began a message, and I knew I was supposed to finish it. And I don't know if we'll finish it today or not, but we'll just do what we're supposed to do. Amen. I sense that there's a lot of people going through some things, and that there's people coming into some understanding of some things, and there's some reality hitting home. And when vision begins to stir in a body, when vision begins to stir in a life, when you start seeing truth beyond where you are, the enemy himself will come to try to pull it out of you. And usually when there's going to be a breakthrough for vision, there's usually a great battle right before that. So those of you that are in a battle right now, know that you're on the verge of breakthrough. Know it. Know it. Don't just hear it. Know it. Speak to yourself in the mirror. In the mirror, you're a breakthrough. Don't let life, issues, people, circumstances, situations, the devil, history, money, anything hold you back. You're on the verge of breakthrough. If you don't give up, guess what? You're right at the corner. You're fixing around the corner to the greatest miracle, breakthrough, victory of your life. This is prophetically speaking. This is not written down. You're on the verge of the greatest breakthrough and miracle of your life. Don't give up now, because you're going to walk around the corner. And it's, as a matter of fact, go ahead and put your party hat on and get ready to party, because you're breaking. You're coming through what God has for you. And you're going to come into better things than you've ever known in your life. Are you talking about money? You're talking about riches? No, I'm talking about the thing that God called you to do before the foundation of the earth. Money can't touch that. Houses can't touch that. Cars can't touch that. Things can't touch that. There's nothing in life greater than knowing you are in the very place that God called you before the foundation of the earth. And there's not a person in this room, there's not a person listening to this CD, that God has not, before the foundation of the earth, preordained a complete, perfect will for you. And He did it. He believed in it so much that He willingly sent Jesus so that you could come into it.
Yes.
Just for you. He sent Jesus so that you could come into your fullness of what He has prepared for you. That's why it's so hard. Because the enemy and life and history doesn't want you to come into it. Amen. That was free. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, since your spirit this morning, and I thank you for your presence. I ask you, Lord, as we begin to go back into this word and this message about vision, that, Lord, that you will stir in me that which you would have me say. And I wouldn't say anything that was my will or my way, but only that which you want to speak. Lord, we are a people who are at a crossroad. Individually, as families, and corporately, we're at a crossroad. And Father, we know that there's not a thing about it that you didn't know. There's not a thing about it you don't understand. There's not an attack of the enemy that you have not already made a way of escape. There's not a situation that you won't turn around and use for your good. Not one. God, we submit it to you. As we look at your word this morning, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the revelator, and that He will reveal to us today what you would have us hear by the Spirit. And Lord, that we wouldn't be spooky-wooky about it, but Lord, that we would just take it one step at a time, stand up, walk out of this place in your will, walk out of this place with your vision, walk out of this place in your grace, knowing that what you started, you are well able to complete it. And that you will complete it in us. Individually, as a family and corporately, you will complete it. Everybody that agreed said amen. 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 Wow. My spirit's just going boom, 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 boom. I'm just sensing there's some good things God's going to speak to us this morning. The other week, if you weren't here two Sundays ago, I encourage you to get the tape or get the CD. I'm going to go back over some of that, but I want to kind of pick up where I left off and go forward. We talked about in Proverbs that the scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's Proverbs 29 and verse 8. I took a compilation of several different versions and I came up with this version for us to preach from. And I believe it's revelation for us today. Where there is no ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God, the people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. You got all that from where there is no vision? The people perish. Yes, I'll say it one more time. Where there is no ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God, the people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. I begin to think about the fact that 2 weeks ago we talked about where there is no ongoing. We talked about what that meant. Progressive. We talked about what that meant. Redemptive. Back to the garden. Back to the way things were before the fall. Revelation of the will of God. That's what the word is. The Spirit of God is going to speak to us. The Spirit of God is not going to speak to us anything that's contrary to the word. The Spirit of God is not going to speak to us anything that is above and beyond the word. There are ministers and there are people today and there are places out there today that are hearing their own message. If it's not included, if it's not surrounded, if it's not engulfed by the word of God, it's not God. So we know that. We don't have to go there. But God's going to speak to us by his spirit through the gifts that he gave the church, by the word of God, the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. And then the last part of that was the people. Where there is none, where that is not there, the people will wander aimlessly without direction until they die. Now that's where a lot of folk have been. That's where Brian was, as he shared with us in his testimony. That's where Brian was before he got face to face in the mirror. He was wandering aimlessly without direction. That's where a lot of folks are today. Wandering aimlessly without direction. Maybe it's in the individual life, not knowing what it is. Do where it is I'm supposed to be. You know, I've got myself backed up against the wall. I'm in a place that I don't know how to get out of. I'm in a circumstance that I don't know what to do. I'm wandering aimlessly without direction. Sometimes we find there are marriages that are wandering aimlessly without direction. Do you know God has a vision for that marriage? God has a vision for that marriage. And that marriage should not ever wander aimlessly without direction, because if it does and it stays that way, it'll end up in a breakup. It'll end up in just a survival mode. One of the greatest books I ever read was called, it just went right out of my head. It's in your office. What is that? Beyond Tolerable Existence. Beyond Tolerable Existence. And a lot of folk are just living in a tolerable existence in their personal life, sometimes in a marriage, sometimes with relationships with children or relationships with coworkers or whatever. It's just tolerable. And we can live beyond tolerable. Amen. The will of God is way beyond tolerable for everyone. And wherever you are today, whatever your circumstance is, we can get from just existing and from just tolerable into the vision, the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. Because without it, we wander aimlessly without direction. There are churches today that got vision to begin. They began and they never went forward in their vision. They got a birth vision. There are folk that got born again years ago that when they got born again, they got vision for new life, vision for eternal life, vision for a better life. Yet when they got born again, they didn't continue to stir vision, so their life never went forward. So they're wandering aimlessly without direction. And if you're not careful, that won't be enough to bring you into the fullness of what God's got for you. You can stay in that place and wonder and wonder and wonder and blame everything and everybody else while we're in the place we're in. But we've got to see beyond that because we've got to stir vision. We've got to stir the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. If we don't get anything and we get that, then we've got enough to go forward with. We've got enough to make change with. That there is a progressive, ongoing, redemptive revelation of the will of God for you personally. Sometimes when a word comes forth, we think, well, you know, that's for them, or that's for him, or that's for her, or that's for the church corporately. And we don't hear that God's speaking to me as an individual. And I want you to know today that if you're sitting here in this room, you at least got enough vision to get yourself up out of bed this morning and get yourself here so that you could hear an encouraging word. You could be a part of an encouraging service so far. We could have said amen before I got up here. We'd had church today. Amen. Because it encourages us. It stirs us. It lets us see that God's doing something in our midst. That somebody has the courage to stand up and testify that God's making a change in my life. And that someone else would get up and say, hey, I've got some things coming and I don't know that in my I can handle it. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And when I get around His people and I get around vision, vision will demand that there is an ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation that will keep me where God's called me to be and will bring me into what God's called me to come into. Amen. Whew. I like it. So when vision comes, we've talked about this, when vision comes, it changes everything. When a vision comes to you, when you start getting vision of what God has for you, it begins to change everything. Now, I'm going to give you today five things. I'll tell you, I don't get there right yet. Take your Bible with me and turn to Genesis chapter 37. You can't talk about vision and not talk about Joseph. It just, the two come hand in hand. Because there are some things about Joseph that we learn, and the life of Joseph, that we learn that there's some things about vision that you gotta be careful with. There's some things about vision we need to understand from the life of Joseph. So I'm gonna give us five things Joseph learned about vision. In Genesis 37, and I'm actually just gonna read the first five verses, because I'm sure everyone knows the story about Joseph. Now Jacob dwelt in a land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. And this is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, Israel, the father, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic, or we've heard about this, the coat of many colors. But listen to this. Look at this, verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 5. Now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now we know the story is Joseph got a dream from God. The dream was a vision. The dream was from God, and God was saying to Joseph, I'm going to do something. There's something in front of you. And Joseph, being excited that he got this dream from God, ran to his brothers and he told them of his dream. And when he did that, a lot of things happened, began to happen. We're going to kind of look at that, kind of skim through it. But one thing I want you to understand, that when vision comes, it'll stir up some dust. It'll stir up some dust. Satan never bothers the visionless. Satan never bothers the visionless. He keeps his eyes on the visionaries. Satan never bothers the visionless. He keeps his eyes on the visionary. God will give you vision. And then everything will seem to fly in the wrong direction. God will give you a vision and everything will seem to fly in the wrong direction at that moment. The first thing I want us to realize that Joseph had to learn about vision was, remember this, vision is not valued by everyone. Church, sometimes we blab things that we don't need to blab. Sometimes we tell things we don't need to tell. God is good, and God's given you direction. God's given you a vision. And sometimes when we proceed to tell everybody, because we think, oh my goodness, God gave me this vision, and everybody's going to jump in the boat with me, and it's going to be, Satan himself will send all the naysayers he can, because there are some vision busters out there. There are some dream busters out there. To know all is not to tell all. Joseph learned the hard way. He told his brothers. His brothers said, let's kill him. And then through a series of events, he went into a pit. From the pit, he went into Potiphar's house as a servant. From Potiphar's house, he went into a prison. Long story short, that's what happened to Joseph. Pit, Potiphar, prison. He went into the pit, he went to Potiphar's house, and he went to prison. Now, in the natural, there was no way it looked like that the vision that God gave him was going to come about. But what we need to understand is all the negative that happened to him, whether or not God intended for it to happen, or whether or not it was the enemy coming against him, God said, watch me. I'm going to take what I put in Joseph, and I'm going to make it happen regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the way it looks, regardless of the years. Didn't happen overnight. But when he came into that place and he looked back, sure enough, the vision was obvious. So remember this, vision is not valued by everyone. If God gives you vision of freedom, God gives you vision of deliverance, God gives you vision of what it is he has for you, be careful with those that you share that with. Make sure you share vision with people who have like vision. Because people, and I'm going to get to this, people who do not have vision will come against the vision of God, or they'll be the naysayers who'll say, you can't have that. What makes you special? What makes you special is that God knew you before the foundation of the world. And no matter how much you failed, no matter how much you've done right, nothing can prevent the vision of God from going forth if we'll just trust Him in it. Number two, vision will expose the jealousy of the ambitious. Vision will expose the jealousy of the ambitious. I'm going to say some things here, and I believe this is revelation, so I want you to, if you can, to write it down, but I want you to hear this. I want you to remember this if you can. There is a thin line between ambition and vision. There is a thin line between ambition and vision. Let me go back to this, tell you what number two is. Vision will expose the jealousy of the ambitious. Now get this. I think this is the revelation for today. Ambition is self-achieving. Ambition is self-achieving. Vision, get this, vision is spirit-receiving. Sounds too simple. Ambition is self-achieving. Vision is spirit-receiving. Receiving. You can try to make your life work out by your own works. I can try to make things happen out of my own hands. I can try to do whatever I think I'm called to do in and of myself. But what I've learned is what I've done in and of myself will not last. But what I do, received by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, orchestrated by the Spirit of God, will last. It will last. Anything, and I had a person, this is kind of later on in my notes, but I want to say this right here. I had a person recently say to me, well, don't you think God sees the good that all people do? And that He rewards people for the good they do? And when the person said that to me, I said, no, I don't think so. And I actually went away and I began to think about what was said to me. This is a question. Doesn't God see the good people? do who haven't gone the Christ path? That's what was said to me. Doesn't God see the good that people do who hasn't done who haven't gone the Christ path? And this is what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. I don't do good to impress God. I do good because God impresses me. I don't do good to impress God. I do the good that God impresses in me. Is this making sense?
Oh, yeah.
I don't do good because I want to get some points with God. But I do good because it's impressed in me by the Spirit of God. And I want you to know here today that what good you've done in and of your flesh, as soon as it was done, it's over. But what good you and I do, led by the Spirit of God, impressed by the Spirit of God, has eternal value. It's going on still today. It's going on still today. See, there's a thing about heaven, there's a thing about eternity that our finite brains cannot comprehend. That's obvious because we all get all wrapped up in the temporal. We get wrapped up in the now. We get wrapped up with what's going on now. We get wrapped up with our past. And we can't see the big picture that God sees. But there's something about us understanding that anything we've done led by the Spirit of God has eternal value. It's still working. It's still accomplishing. And I've said this before, and I'll say this here again. Anytime we've lifted our hands in worship and praise by the Spirit, not because I'm trying to impress somebody with my voice, not because I'm trying to impress somebody with the way I move, not because I'm trying to do good to maybe get God to notice me, but because out of a heart of love and gratitude, I lift my hands and I worship Him, then that worship is continuing today. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that one day in eternity, we're going to catch up with our praise. And we're going to begin to see something unfold in our midst that's probably bigger than I need to be talking about right now. But that there's something about what I do impressed by the Spirit of God. It's eternal. Today there are marriages that people, and I know there's not a whole lot of married folk in here. Well, I guess there are. But there are marriages that people are just existing in, that people are just kind of just, well, we're just doing what we have to do in order to make it through where we're going through. And to make it through what we're going through. And you know, and there's no vision for that marriage. And husbands, I want to encourage you today. You say, well, Mike, you didn't make it. And I know. That's why I can talk about what I know I didn't do to make it work. There's a responsibility as a husband that I must continue to stir vision in my heart for the marriage. Because if you don't, then the enemy will oblige quickly and easily whatever it takes to mess it up. Whatever it takes to get into that place where you're wandering aimlessly without direction. Until it dies. There are people today that you've had direction for coming into all that God has for you. But because you've not stirred and continued to stir the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God, then you get to a place in your freedom or you get to a place in your life that you're just existing. And God says, I want to bring you into more. The last couple of months, our pastor has been stirring vision in his heart. As he's been preaching, I've been writing little notes. And as I write my little notes, you know, God speaks to me some incredible things. And that's vision to go forward, vision to stir up, vision to keep going. And the devil himself will say, I'm going to stop things. I'm going to cease. But you see, the fact of it is, he cannot. Oh, this is in my notes too, but I'm going to say this right now. Do you know that me wants to attack you because you're the only way he can get to God? The enemy wants to attack and get you because you are the only way he can get to God. Now, some of us got a fighting spirit. I'll stand up on the inside. He cannot get to, and that's his whole aim, because he knows he messed up. And he knows what his future holds. So what he wants to do is try to get back at God through every vessel he can. And if you've got any vision in you, he's going to say, that's God, I'm going to come against that vision. That's God, I'm going to try to keep it from happening. That's God, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make you fail. That's God, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get your eyes off of what God's doing. And sometimes we oblige him. We get lazy in our attitude. We get lazy in the way that we stir up the vision of God. I love the examples in the scripture. David said, I stir myself up. And yet it was praise and worship. Paul said, we'll stir you up by the laying on of hands. This morning, you got stirred by the Spirit by the laying on of hands. That's very biblical. And so you ought to receive today the impartation of God for you to be able to hold on. And you may not know what the answers are for tomorrow, but you hold on because today God did something supernatural in you. And you hold on to that. You may not understand it all, but you hold on to it because you received by the laying on of hands through men and women of God who imparted into you what God's imparted into us, imparted into you a stirring to not give up, to not fail, to not go backwards, but to hold on and walk into what God's got for you, just like Brian said, one step at a time. One step at a time. Hold on. So we need to stir up the gift of God. Sunday morning and the Word of God is coming forth. We're stirring ourselves up with the Word of God. It's giving us vision. It's giving us power and strength. As we talked about the other week, it's the faith is the fuel of the process. We're receiving the nozzle of God to give us the fuel for the process to make it. And if you could just see that this morning, God put the nozzle of the Holy Ghost into your heart, and he began to pour into you what you need. You can't do it in your own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. I've learned that. But when I grab hold of the strength of God, and I stir up the Word of God, and I begin to praise God, and I begin to see God, and I begin to surround myself with the people of God, then I begin to receive strength. I begin to receive vision, the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God for my life. And nothing will keep me from it as long as I keep it stirred. But life and history has demanded that we get away from seeing the things of God so that we can become like many folks and just give up and not see the truth of God. Ambition is self-achieving. Vision is Spirit-receiving. Vision is not achieved. It is received. Vision is not achieved. It is received. And when we begin to receive the vision of God for our lives, for our marriages, for our finances, for our children, I'm just so thankful in the last week I've been able to spend time with my three boys. And as I was with them last weekend and then my older son during the week this week, I began to stir in my thinking toward them the things of God. And I went to church last Sunday morning with my middle son, Christopher. And it's a church that he wants to go to, but there's been some things that have been kind of negative about going. He looked at me Sunday morning and he said, Dad, I know this is where I need to be. And I said, then why aren't you coming here? He said, well, because I don't know how to pass this hurdle or pass that hurdle. I said, son, if this is where God's called you to be, don't look at the hurdles. Get yourself where God's called you to be. He said, thanks, isn't it? That's all it takes. It's not that complicated. If God told you to be there, be there. Next Sunday morning, be there. He said, well, what do I do if I get opposition? I said, get up and go by yourself. At least going by yourself is better than not going at all. Get up and go. Because where else are you going to... See, if you're out there hearing from God, and y'all please hear me on this. If you're out there in your private time and in your quiet time, and you're reading the Word of God, and you're getting instruction from God, I promise you, as God is my witness, If God is telling you, He will telling you to do something, He will confirm it by the gift He's placed in your life as our pastor. And if it's not confirmed through the pastor, then you need to really be careful about what you're doing. That's a safety. The word says in Ephesians that He gave gifts to men. That's men and women. And these gifts are to equip the saints. Now, I know, and if anybody who's more sensitive to this, I don't know, than our pastor is, there have been people who have exalted the gifts to where it's someplace up there that it's impossible to receive from them. You got to be careful about that. But the one thing's for sure, you can't not receive the gift. And if God is speaking something to you, I definitely wouldn't take a foot forward with it without speaking to the gift God gave the church and say, what do you think? And if the gift says, I don't know, let me pray about it. I don't know, let me think about it. Don't get uptight because He didn't give you the answer you thought you ought to get. Or if the gift says, no, it's not time. In 1989, the Lord called me to the ministry as a senior pastor. I'd been an associate pastor from 20 years old to that point, or associate work. I did children, youth, music, associate work, whatever needed to be done, I had done. But I was away, and I was fasting, and I was praying. And I was on my face before God, and I was praying about some things. And all of a sudden, I saw a picture, just as plain as day, I saw a picture of a courthouse, and people were walking around it. And I knew that it was a vision from God. And as I'm telling you, it was just like watching it on TV. That's how clear it was. And I looked at that courthouse, and I said, Lord, what is this about? And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I'm sending you to a place you've never been to pastor a people who've never been pastored. That's exactly what I said. How many years have you known me? Have I ever said that differently? That's exactly what God said to me. I hear it just as clear today as I heard it then. I said to the Lord, Father, you know I am a man submitted to an authority. I said, if this is you, I was fasting and praying in a little bitty mobile home out in the middle of the mountains of North Carolina, of the foothills, way out where nobody, there was no telephone, there was no TV. I was out there. I had been there since Sunday. I had not eaten a meal since Sunday. This was Thursday. I was submitting all of my things to God in prayer. I was praying. I was seeking the Lord. And I just as real as you're seeing me standing before you, that Thursday evening, I saw this courthouse and these people. And I said, what's this all about? And the Lord said, I'm sending you to a place that you've never been to pastor people who've never been pastored. And I said, Lord, if this is you, and I believe it is, would you please send my pastor out here? Because you know I'm a man submitted to authority. And I believe in that. And Lord, if this is you, I ask you to send my pastor out here. Friday morning, I wake up. I had a little old Toyota pickup truck. I heard my truck coming down the driveway. You know, you hear your car. If it's your car coming, you know what it sounds like. Or if you have a spouse, you know what her car sounds like or his car sounds like. I heard my truck coming down that driveway and I thought, who's coming out here in my truck? And I looked out the door and there's my pastor. And I think, wow, Lord, that was quick. I got the vision on Thursday night, Friday morning, here comes pastor. And I stepped out the door and I said, well, hey, and he said, I'm not here to bother you. He said, there's some things out in the outbuilding I came out here to pick up. He said, I just come to pick them up and I'm leaving. He said, you just keep obeying God. Don't break your fast. Don't break your prayer. Don't do anything that God hadn't called you to do. You just keep obeying God. And I'm just kind of looking at him, watching him. And he goes and he opens this door to the shed and he looks in there and he turns around. And he says, well, I'll be. He said, what I came for is not even in here. And I said, no, you came for another reason. I said, God sent you out here. I need to talk to you. And I shared with my pastor the vision. And I said to him, I said, there's two things that's got to happen. Number one, I got to tell you all my darkness. I can't go forward without somebody knowing. And I trust you enough that I feel like I can tell you. And I told him my darkness. I told him the things that you don't tell people. And I said, number two, this is the vision God gave me. And I said, and I'm going to submit it to you because you're my pastor. And I said, I'm going to trust God in you is as big as God needs to be. How many can believe that God is big as He needs to be? I submitted to my pastor. He said to me, number one, thank you for the darkness. Let's pray. Let's walk beyond that. Number two, he said, I don't have any doubt that God's called you to be a pastor. But he said, I do doubt the timing right now. He said, we really need you to finish some things you started. And I just want to ask you, can we just kind of put this on the shelf until we both know? And I said, yes, sir, absolutely. Now, I could have gotten mad and said, what's your problem? Can't you hear from God? I could have said, I don't understand. God gave me a vision. I saw a courthouse. And make a long story short, the courthouse I saw was the courthouse in Monroe, North Carolina. And God sent me to a church to pastor people who had had an extreme, organized, gifted, organizationally skilled man, and a man who, the second pastor before me, was an evangelist. All he cared about was getting people saved. Once they got saved, he didn't take them any further. So God sent me, a man with a pastor's heart, to begin to cultivate the sheep and to begin to speak to the sheep and to begin to stir in the sheep so that the church could become the church. That's exactly what my place was. Because when I heard, I'm sending you a place to pastor people who've never been pastored, my first thought was, it can't be in America. Everybody in America is pastored to death. But that's not true. I began to see true pastors are rare. And how my gifting today is to be used, I submit it to God and my pastor. Nobody else. I submit it to God and my pastor. And I'm telling you, it's the way it works. I promise you it's the way it works. Because you see, if you make a wrong decision and you've submitted it to God and to your pastor, if you make the wrong decision and they said, or your pastor said, I believe this is God, he'll hold them accountable. Or if they say, this is not God, he'll hold them accountable. That's part of what their job is. It's part of the spiritual gifting they are to the church. I didn't know I was going to get into all this, but this is good for somebody. Without vision, people perish. I want to give you a vision today for what God's going to do in your life. Number one, stir up in your life the will of God by the word of God and submit it to your local pastor. Joseph began to do some things. He didn't understand that vision was not valued by everyone and that vision will expose the jealousy of the ambitious. If you achieve, vision is not achieved, it is received. If you achieve it on your own, you have to keep it yourself. If you're killing yourself to keep your vision, you need to ask yourself, is it really mine to begin with? Let me say that one more time. If you achieve it on your own, you have to keep it yourself. And if you're killing yourself to keep it, you need to ask yourself, is it really mine to begin with? Number three, vision will expose the fear of the insecure. Vision will expose the fear of the insecure. Joseph's brothers, when they heard of Joseph's vision, that they were going to be coming and bowing down to him, man, they were like, hey, there is no way. Vision will expose the fear of the insecure. People who are not sure of their calling, purpose, or vision will always see the visionary as a threat. We have to remember the last part of 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have committed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Secure people do not have to defend themselves or their vision. When we're securing God, we know that God's given us the vision. We don't have to defend ourselves or the vision. Number four. I'm just going to get to this, the fifth one, then I'm going to stop, and someday I'll finish the rest. We'll just submit that to Pastor because I see the time's getting there. Number four, vision will test all of your relationships. Vision will test all of your relationships. friends, family, and religious folk. But obviously, it tested the relationship between Joseph and his brothers. It even really tested the relationship between Joseph and his father. His father didn't even know what was going on. Yes. Vision will expose the jealousy of the ambitious. That's why I said ambition is self-achieving. Vision is spirit-receiving. Mm-hmm. Number four, vision will test all of your relationships. It'll test your relationships with your family. It will test your relationship with your friends. And it'll test your relationship around church folk. Because you see, there's a lot of folk who don't want to stir vision, don't want to stir the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. And they'll say to you, it didn't work for me, and it's probably not going to work for you. I can remember when I came into the Spirit-filled life, my so-called religious friend said to me, all that kind of stuff will make you go crazy. You'll lose your mind. Thank God! Because my mind was getting me nothing but trouble. Because what I learned in the Spirit-filled life is I'm gaining the mind of Christ. I am losing my mind. And I'm gaining the mind of Christ. But people said, people like you who get all excited about the things of God, and you start reading the Bible every day, and you start praying every day, and you start worshiping every day, why, you'll go crazy. And the first time I had some family members that saw in the church that I went to people being slain in the Spirit, where God just laid them out, they had some really negative remarks to say. And I'll never forget we were sitting at the dinner table. I was being ordained, and so my family came to the church. They'd never been in a church like that. I mean, in our church, people danced everywhere. People danced across the front, down the sides, in the highways. When we had worship and praise, nobody cared how you was dancing. If you wanted to dance before God, you could dance before God. Our praise and worship was enthusiastic, to say the least. It was a lot of fun. We were dancing before the Lord. And then as this church, we were ordained, they laid hands on us. And my family were all there, my mom, my dad, my sister and her husband, and my brother and his wife, and my younger brother were all there. And at the end of service, they were laying hands on people, and pastor was laying hands on people, and people were falling out under the power of the Spirit. And I know sometimes people don't, but y'all, we're not judging that. We're looking at the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. Don't judge what people do or don't do. And we were sitting at the table, and my older brother said, what was all that business about people falling? He said, that's ridiculous. And my little brother, I didn't say a word. My little brother said, who are you to judge that? My big brother shut up. I didn't have to defend myself. My little brother didn't. My little brother's in heaven today. And I guarantee you, he's seen some things that even I would question. But vision will test your relationships will test all of your relationships. But get this, relationships built out of vision will make you closer than family. Relationships built out of vision will make you closer than family. And I promise you, that has proven so true in my life. Relationships built out of vision. And that's not saying that there's something negative about families. Y'all don't hear what I'm not saying. Hear what I am saying.
Right.
Don't go out of here saying, oh, oh, oh. No, that's not what I said. Relationships built out of vision. Relationships built out of the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God will make you stronger. And they'll make you closer than family. Number five. This is what I said earlier. Vision brings the attack of the enemy because he can't get to God any other way except through you. He's not after you. He's after the gift. He's after the word. He's after the vision. He's after the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God that's on the inside of you. Because if he can keep you where you're wandering aimlessly without direction, He may not get you in hell, but he knows one thing. You're not going to be of any effect for the kingdom of God. Did you hear what I said? He's not worried about you. He's worried about what's on the inside of you. Because if you've accepted Jesus, you can accept Jesus and wander aimlessly and still go to heaven, but you won't accomplish the perfect will of God. What's the use in being here if I can't? May as well get saved and go home. But you see, we're all here today because we know there's more than where I am. Amen? There's more than where I am. And where I've been, I don't want to go back to. What I've done, I don't want to give to. And what's going to help me is ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. And as I grab hold of that, it's going to empower me. I'm not going to empower me. The Spirit of God will empower me. Grace, God will do in me what I don't have the ability to do. Grace will come. And the grace of God will sustain me even when I fall. If I'll just get back up. If I'll just not quit. How many in here received Jesus and you've never made a mistake since? Not a one of us. Some of us has made mistakes every day. But the fact that we get up and we keep trying, Brian, the fact that we keep submitting it to God, the fact that we keep pressing forward, then vision can bring us into what God's got for us. When Satan sees vision, he sees the heart of God. When Satan sees vision, he sees the heart of God. There's some folk in here, you've got just a little bit of vision on the inside of you. But see, God's stirring in your heart today because he wants to put a whole lot of vision inside of you. He wants to put a whole lot of vision inside of me. There's a scripture in Habakkuk that says, write the vision and make it plain so that those who are even running by it can see it and read it. Write the vision, make it plain. I encourage you this week, begin to seek God about your life. Begin to seek God about your marriage. Begin to seek God about your finances. Begin to seek God about your health. Begin to seek God about your job. Begin to seek God about wherever it is you are. And begin to receive the revelation, the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God. Because if we get that on the inside of you, then when the storms come, and when the naysayers come, and when the visionless come, and when those that want to speak all manner of evil against you come, you can say, I'm not listening to that. I'm not studying that. I'm going to hold on to the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of the will of God in my life if it's the last thing I do. And if the enemy takes me out, my last breath will be holding on to the vision of God. Because y'all, if he takes you out, you've just gotten to the ultimate vision. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It's 12 o'clock and I'm going to stop. I've got four things. This whole thing was about a story that I told last week about two weeks ago, that when my boys, and I was sharing this with Stephen this week, and he just laughed. He said, Daddy, I don't remember that. But they were playing that game where you interlock hands, and Stephen had his hands in Christopher's hands, and he was bending Christopher's hands. He says, now say it. And I asked Tripp about it. He said, you say mercy. And a lot of people say that, but in my house, we said uncle. You scrunch them fingers, you know, and get them to say, uncle. And Stephen was just doing Christopher and going with Christopher. And Christopher was going, oh! But he would not say uncle. And Stephen was pressuring, and he would not say uncle. And finally, Stephen said, Christopher, all you had to do was say uncle. That's all you had to do. Why wouldn't you say it? And he said, because my daddy's coming. He heard his daddy in the hallway. And he knew all daddy had to do was stick his head in and see a kid 5 years older than the other say, stop it. Stop it. And there's some folk today, I'm going to go back to this, but there's some folks today that you need to hear daddy's coming. You need to hear daddy's coming. Daddy's in the hallway. Father God. He knows everything. There's not a thing you don't know that he doesn't know. There's not a thing you know that he doesn't know. There's not a thing you've done that He doesn't understand. And there's not a thing going on in your life that He has not made a way of escape. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. 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 Hold on. Because Daddy's in the hallway. And there's nobody can touch the vision of God when Daddy's surrounding it. And you know what? When we give it to Him, He'll make it happen. It's not my vision. It's yours. I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. I've proven that. But Daddy, You've got all it takes. So I'm going to put myself back in the vision of God. I've made some failures. I've made some sin. Some people say, you know, you talk about mistakes and you talk about failures, you don't call it what it is. All right, I've sinned. And you know what I've learned? The vision of God's bigger than my sin. People will point their fingers and say, I knew you weren't going to do it. I knew you were going to fail. I knew you weren't going to make it. But see, God said He knew that I would go through what I went through so that one day I would be at Lamplight Church so that I could share with this many people, God's got something for you greater than where you are. And the enemy wanted to take me out and put me in a world where I could never stand here and do that. But I pressed through. And I was singing at a funeral. And this man came up to me and said, hey, when I went through my stuff, I had to endure your ministry. It's only fair you come and endure mine. And I've been sitting here ever since. It's only fair. You say, well, that doesn't sound led by the Spirit of God. It's amazing what God will use to get you where you belong. I was singing in a choir at the Baptist church, hidden. I could just hide myself there. Be like wallpaper, you know, just kind of in the room and nobody noticing. But God used somebody going home to be with Him to put me in a place where the man of God would say, get yourself at Lamplight. And I'm not putting up with no. So that I could hear things that would start stirring what God put in me. And I began to stir it. I don't know where it's going. I don't know when. I don't know how. But you know what? I'm not even worried about it anymore. I have peace that I am where I am right now. Peace. I haven't had peace like this, and I don't know when. Because when you submit to God, and you start begin to stir the vision of God, it'll bring you to where you're supposed to be. Everybody in this room, there's a seed of vision on the inside of you. What are you doing with it? Are you allowing God to stir it on the inside of you? Maybe it's a seed of a relationship. Maybe it's a seed of deliverance. Maybe it's a seed of freedom. Maybe it's a seed of ministry. Maybe it's a seed of vocation. Maybe it's a seed of your marriage. Maybe it's a seed of finances. Maybe it's a seed of God only knows what it is, but there's a seed on the inside of everybody in this room. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't. This is not the kind of church that just hanging out at church folks go to. There's a seed on the inside of you. And my question is, are you stirring the vision of God? Are you seeing an ongoing, progressive? See, some folks think ongoing and progressive mean the same thing. No, it doesn't. Because see, it's got to keep going and it's got to progress. There's supposed to be more today than there was yesterday on the inside of me. There's more understanding, more revelation, more, I don't know if you can say intensity, but more realization of who God is and what He has. There should be more today. And guess what? Tomorrow there's even going to be more. That's what I've got to look forward to. See, some folk are just satisfied with the mundane. And those are the very folks that are wandering aimlessly without direction until they die. And if you wander aimlessly without direction, eventually the enemy will put a roadblock in your way, or the enemy will put a hole in your way, and you'll fall down in that hole, and it can ultimately end to death. But I've decided if I fall in the hole, I'm going to go with the vision of God stirring. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cease. I still see that courthouse today. Someday I'll pastor again. Right now I'm submitted. My pastor told me back then, not right now, not right now. And by January, we'd never had conflict between the two of us. And by January, there'd been a ton of conflict. Everything he did, I didn't understand. Everything I did, he didn't understand. And finally, he came to me and he said, you know what? He said, Mike, I think God's kicking the chick out of the nest and you got to go. But he believed in me so much. He said, we're going to pay your salary until you find the church you belong. That's how much he believed in me. He paid my salary. I had, at that point, four youngins. And he said, we're going to keep you. He said, the church is going to pay your salary every month until you find the church that God's called you to be. Isn't that amazing? That's somebody who understands vision. I hope you'll take these 5 points and you'll look at them this week and figure out where you are with the vision of God in every area of your life. Some folk need to submit some areas to God that you haven't been walking in a long time. It's time. You know what they are? I don't know what they are. I don't care. You do your business before God. I'll do my business before God. But there's an area in your life maybe that you need to submit before God. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, reveal yourself to us in a greater measure than ever before, that we could understand and begin to see vision like we've never seen it before. And we can stir it up. And Lord, by the things that Joseph experienced, we can learn. And we can see, Lord, that you've given each of us purpose. You've given each of us plans. You've given each of us grace and anointing, so that we wouldn't accomplish it in and of our own selves, but that we would just simply be a vessel used by the Spirit of God to release and walk in the very perfect will of God, so that you would be seen amongst the nations, so that you would be seen in the city of Charlotte, so that you would be seen in each household in this room, that we would know you and we would see you and we would experience you and we would come into all that you have for us, not that we have for you. We submit, Lord, that in and of ourselves, we have nothing to offer. So we cry unto you, Abba, Father. We know that you're here and that you care. And we're not going to cry, Uncle. We're not going to quit. We're going to get up from where we are and we're going to start stirring the ongoing, progressive, redemptive revelation of your will in our lives. Amen and amen. Amen.